I've probably sometime, maybe a few years ago, might have used this title before, but I didn't use it in this way, if I remember correctly. I try to keep up with what I preach. If the Lord gives me a thought, I think it's pretty important. But my thought is, who's going to fill their shoes? And y'all remember George Jones sung the song, who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to stand that tall? And I pray today that I look back through my life and I see men and women alike that was such a great light to me. And that never give up, never quit. They kept going. And they finished their course. And I wanted so much to be like him. And one of them was my dad. He wasn't the greatest churchgoer ever was. He really wasn't. But he was as good a man as you'd ever meet. He was a saved man. And he loved God and he loved his neighbors. And I wanted to be like that. I wanted to be somebody that my neighbors respected. And I can go to up in Kentucky and preach up in there, or I can just be up there at a restaurant and somebody say, "Hey, Brother Likens, how you doing?" And somebody say, "You ain't kin to Harvey Likens?" I say, "That was my dad." And they say, "I worked with him for years. It ain't no better man ever was than him." And I mean, I go somewhere to preach, and then the first thing they ask is, "Are you any kin to Harvey Likens?" Who is going to fill those shoes? Who is going to teach the next generation? Who's going to be the example to the next generation to do what's right and do what's good? I think about our young folks and how we've been blessed, and we got these little ones. Now we've got some of you sitting over here, y'all getting grown now, and I understand that. But before you quit, before you give up, make sure these little ones have the same opportunity to learn. You know, teach them. Stand up there with them and help them. And be an example to them. Brother Barry, before you're gone, help the rest of us. Amen. Brother Marty, if he was here, I'd say the same thing. You know, be a help to somebody like me. Kind of show me along the ropes along the way. We're so blessed. We've got so many preachers in this church. I mean, that's such a great responsibility. It just scares me to death, just like all these kids. It just scares me to death, you know. Somebody's got to be an example to them. Amen. Somebody's got to keep going. Somebody's got to keep fighting the battle. Amen. That somebody will come along and fill their shoes, you know. And so I look at you sisters and the piano players, you know. These little ones that's coming on and... Who's going to fill their shoes? It's going to be up to you to teach them and be an example to them. We're going to read from 1 Kings. I apologize. Last week I got so tore up I didn't tell nobody where I was at and where I was going or nothing else. I'm going to try to do a little better today. But we're going to read from 1 Kings chapter 19. Our part of our thoughts going to come out of verse 19. Instead of filling the shoes, it's filling the mantle. Amen. A mantle is a garment. It was a kind of a skirt, like you might say. It was a thing that went around the men, wrapped around them to keep them warm. Elijah had been through a whole lot. Elijah, he'd asked the people of God, "How long are you going to be of two opinions? You know, if the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him." And Elijah told them that they would pray. And who's ever God come down and consume the altar if the prophets of Baal would pray and he would pray, and whichever God came down and consumed the altar with fire, that would be God. And so the prophets of Baal was willing to do that, and they built them an altar, and they prayed, and they cried, and they squalled. Elijah made fun of them. He mocked them. That's just all it was. He said, "Where's your God? Is he in a journey? Is he asleep or something?" They cut themselves. They done everything they know to do. Nothing ever happened. Elijah built it, took up the altar and built his altar. He told them to pour water around it 3 times, barrels of water. He made sure it was good and soaked. He didn't want to leave no doubt when this happened. He prayed and prayed to the Lord, you show them, Lord, who's God. And the fire come down and consumed the altar, and all the people knew then that he was God. Then Elijah prayed and the rain come again. They'd been in a drought, and Elijah prayed and the rain come. Elijah was literally on fire for God. Next thing you know, Jezebel sends out the messenger to Elijah and lets him know, what you done to my prophets, by tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing to you. So Elijah skips out and runs. And I don't blame him. Next thing you know, he's in the wilderness and he's there by himself. He feels all alone and he's ready to quit. The Bible says you find him under a juniper tree and he's there and he just, Lord, I ain't no better than my fathers. Go ahead and take my life. I mean, this man was tired of fighting this, and he felt like he's in it by himself. I want to tell you, you say he had a pity party. It wasn't a pity party. He felt alone. He felt like, I've done all this. I've done this and I've done that. I've done everything you've asked me to do, Lord. And here I am fixing to die for all that. That's going to be my reward for it. God sent an angel down. Said, you rise up, Elijah. He baked him bread, gave him water to drink. He laid back down. He woke him up. Get up. You need strength. Give him more bread, more water. Next thing you know, Elijah's standing in the mouth of a cave. A hurricane come by, an earthquake come by, all of these things, a mighty wind, all these things happened. Fire came by, everything happened. God wasn't in them, and then a still small voice began to talk to Elijah. And Elijah said, I've been jealous for you, Lord. I've done everything you wanted me to do, and here I am by myself. And he said, I have 7,000 men of Israel has not bowed a knee to the prophet Baal or the god Baal. I've reserved them. And he told Elijah, he said, you go anoint a king to Syria and a king to Israel, and you anoint a prophet to take your room. In other words, to take your place. Somebody that's going to fill your shoes, Elijah. You go anoint Elisha, and you teach him, and you show him my ways, and you be everything to him, that there will be somebody to take your place when you're gone. And that's what he said. And I know it most of the time when you think about anointing, you think about it being anointed with oil. Jesus, I believe, was anointed with the Holy Spirit. I believe that in all my heart. So, I believe Elisha was anointed with a mantle, amen, with a girdle. That's what God chose to anoint him with. And so we're going to read that now, and we're going to look at how we have a responsibility to the ones that's behind us to not quit, to not sit under our juniper tree and give up. Even though we may feel alone in all this, somebody's got to teach that next child. Somebody's got to teach that next preacher. Somebody's got to show him the way. I was so blessed, and I've said it over and over. People told me you went from 0 to 100 mile an hour. And they said, how did you do that? I had so many good men that just took me by their wings and helped me. Now, I don't believe I ever was. I still ain't made 100 mile an hour. But listen to me, there was people there that helped me. That was men that I could call in the middle of the night and ask questions, and they would tell me the best they could. They give me advice. They lived their life in such a way I watched them day by day. They was that to me. They was my Elijah. And I was their little Elisha. And they was willing to teach me. And I want you to know, it come a time, those same men, I laid their hands upon me and set me apart. I had to go do the full work of the ministry. And I believe that's what that mantle is. It's a set apart. God called Elisha, not Elijah. And I believe we can prove that when we read this in just a second. So there was somebody had to fill his shoes, and God had a man to do it. We're going to start reading in that 19th verse, and we'll read the remaining of the chapter. And I don't want to get caught too much up in this mantle, but I want you to remember this. It won't only affect what you do today. It's going to affect generations to come. Your children, your grandchildren will be affected by how you handle yourself, how you live your life, how you serve God. And an example you are, this won't just affect just them. It will go for generations on. Amen. And so keep that in mind. That's the reason I want to hang on to this mantle just a little bit, this garment. So it says, so he departed thence and found Elisha. Now Elijah departed and he found Elisha. That's the one he was to anoint, the son of Shaphath, who is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him, and he cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he asked the question. He said, "I've not done this. I'm not the one called you, but God's called you." And he said, "Listen to me, this ain't me. This is the Lord's business. I'm here to set you apart in this, and that you will be able to take my place, to fill my room, and to do the job that I've done." So it was important that we know that God does the calling. I believe there's people here. I think sometimes people only believe in two kind of callings. A call to be saved and a call to preach. But there's many, many more callings of God. God has a job for each one of you. If you've been saved by God's grace, He's got something for you to do. And so it's up to you to learn and do the best you can. Find somebody to be an example to you and learn from them. People say, "We need to learn from God." We do need to learn from God. He's been the best teacher I've ever had, but He used my wife to help me learn to read. Her used Brother Doug Curtis to teach me how to handle myself as a pastor. He used Brother Marty. He used Brother Barry to help me to understand the Scripture more clearly. He's used a lot of people to help me along the way. Listen to me, children. You younger adults, these little babies right here are depending on you. Amen. Not to quit, not to give up. Some of them say, "I'm too big, I'm too old." Listen to me, Elijah thought he'd done all he could do. He got to a point he's ready to quit. He wanted to just die. But there was still people that needed to hear about God. And somebody needed to take his place. And he returned back from him, and he took the yoke of oxen, and he slew them, and bored their flesh, and with the instruments, and with everything that they used to plow with, of the oxen, and gave them to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and he went after Elijah and he ministered unto him. So he become to a servant unto Elijah. He followed after Elijah. He learned from Elijah. His faith grew through watching Elijah and the things he done. But God called this man named Elisha. And I want you to realize he was called the man of God. He done a lot of things, but the setting apart here with him and how he was anointed. And Brother Marty here while back, while Brian was teaching on this in Sunday school, Marty said, what's to do with this man? And I still don't understand all of it, but it's what God used to set him apart. And I want you to realize that today, God is trying to set you apart and he wants to use you for a purpose. I want you to realize, and I believe in all my heart, that mantle was important. He'd never done that. You'll find that places after this, Elijah kept his mantle. You'll find where waters were separated. He took that mantle and put it in the waters, just like God took the rod and the water separated God. Or Moses took the rod and the water separated. God's one separated, not Moses or the rod. But that mantle didn't separate the water, but it was important. It was an example. And it was to show something, I believe, later on. I believe we was going to recognize that. We'll recognize that later on. But what I'm trying to make you understand today, you have something to do. God has something for you to do. You are to be an example to those that's behind you. If you're one of these younger adults, you got a responsibility to these little ones. If you're a piano player, take time and spend a little time with these little girls that's trying to learn the piano. Help them along and show them and encourage them that this will go along down through time. And just like David played that harp with his fingers in such a way how they cast the evil spirit out of Saul, I want you to realize I've heard y'all tickle the ivory there times before. I've come in here and be in the wrong spirit, be in the wrong mood, and all of a sudden somebody get up there and sing a song, or somebody like Carissa did a while ago, play the first part of that song, and it is so pretty. It just changes everything. These things have got to be taught. There's got to be somebody to take the place of these deacons. These deacons should handle themselves in a way that these young men here, these boys here, my grandson's with me today, I want him to see an example out of you, brother, that'll be different than the world is. I want him to see something special about you, something you can teach my kids, my grandkids. Be that. Don't give up. Be strong and hang on to the Lord. There was a king. His name was Ahaziah. And he'd fell down through the lattice. And he'd got hurt. And he'd sent messengers. And he sent messengers to Baal-Zebubon, the god of Ekron. And he told him, you go and you find out how I'm going to do here. And Elijah had heard about it, how he'd sent them to this false god. And Elijah, the angel of the Lord, come. That's how he heard. The angel come to him and told him, you get down there and tell him he ain't going to live. He's putting his trust in the wrong thing. And Elijah goes catch up with those messengers. And he tells them, you go back and tell the king that man he's in, he's not going to leave it. He's going to die. He had a god to go to. And he's sent you after this false god. They went back and told him, and the king said, who in the world and what did he look like? That's what he wanted to know. He said unto them, what manner of man was it which came unto meet you? And they told you these words. And this is in 2 Kings chapter 1, and we're reading 7 and verse 8. And he said, and they answered him, he was a hairy man, girt with a girdle of leather about his loins, and he said it was Elijah Tishbite. He'd seen him before at his father's house. He knew who it was. He knew it was Elijah the Tishbite. He asked him, he said, what manner of man is? He said he was a hairy man. I believe the hair was from his garment. It said he was a hairy man. And he said he had on this girdle about him. I want you to realize that was the same mantle that he passed on to Elisha. That was the one he had on. This was something this man knew about. He recognized Elijah by this. He knew what it was because of this. What I want to talk to you about today, will people recognize you when you're out in a hospital somewhere? You're at a ball game. You're at the courthouse. You're at your job place. Will people see what you are and what manner of man you are? This man, this king, he knew he had messed up. He knew it was Elijah. It was a man of God. He called him out on this. He wanted to know what he was. They told him what he wore, what he had on him. I want you to realize today, people are going to see us for what we are. They may not, people don't recognize. I pastored Hunter's Point down there for a year, and there was a man come down there every Sunday. We was out Westmoreland. I was out there doing in a subdivision doing some work out yonder. And he worked for Tri-County, and I was going to have to be digging over electric line. So he comes out there, and he's out yonder, and he's down yonder at the ditch, and he's working the ditch. I'm sitting up there on the old rusty old backhoe and in my overhauls and my cap. And he's down there in the ditch, and every once in a while he goes, shake his head. He'd dig a little more, and he'd, a little while he'd raise up there, and he'd look, and he'd go. He'd dig. I mean, this man, I've seen him every week. And I finally looked at him, I said, it's me. It's me. He said, I can't believe that. Never seen you in overhauls before. All he'd ever seen me was in a suit and a tie. He didn't recognize me that way. This man recognized soon as he was told what he was wearing. He knew what kind of man he was. He knew he was a prophet of God. And he knew he had power with God. He knew about the prophets of Baal. He knew about the fire come down from heaven. He knew this man had prayed and water had came down from the sky. He saw, his servant saw a cloud about the side of a palm of a man's head. He knew this man knew the Lord. And he knew he was in trouble. Does God recognize, or does people recognize you? There was a man was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 4, I believe it's about verse 2, said he was going to come, he's going to be a forerunner of Christ, and he was going to make past the straits. This man came, and his name was John the Baptist. I believe there was something that happened to do with Elijah that come on down through the years. There was about 900 years between Elijah and John the Baptist. And here come along a man. And I want y'all to just guess what he's wearing. He's wearing a girdle. Leather girdle. Of camel's hair. It was a hay one. I ain't going to tell you today that that was the same one that Elijah wore, but he came out of the wilderness with this on. I always just thought poor old John. He was just poor. He was so poor he was eating honey and locusts. But I want you to know what he was wearing. There was a purpose in it.
It was more. It was something to show something. He knew something. He had heard something. And it had come down 900 years. Why is that? Because it had been taught for one generation. It didn't end with Elijah and Elisha. Somebody filled in the room. It didn't stop there. If it would have stopped with mom and daddy, if it would have stopped with grandma and grandpa, if it would have stopped with John the Baptist, if it would have stopped with Paul, if it would have stopped with Peter, if it would have stopped with those men and women that through the dark ages gave their life, that me and you might be able to hear the gospel someday. It was men and women kept on going no matter how hard it got. No matter how weak they got. They kept fighting the fight. It was passed on down. It kept coming down through the years. Because somebody had to fill their spot. Somebody had to fill their shoes. Somebody had to fill that room. Somebody had to wear that mantle. I've never been much. But Logie Pogie, wherever you're at back here, buddy, I hope I'm a man that you'll look at your paw someday and say, my paw's a strong man of God. He loved the Lord. And this don't end with Pa. Then it goes on through you. And it'll go on through your children and your grandchildren. You'll say, well, Brother Jeff, I mean, the Lord's going to come back any day. It don't matter. I believe he can come back any day too. But what if he don't? What if he don't? What are we going to leave our grandbabies? What are we going to leave our great-grandbabies? Are we going to leave the example to them that we was quitters? Are they going to read about how Paul Jeff, he was a preacher and he done pretty decent. He pastored a church or two. Some people thought something of him, but then one day he just quit. And Paul Jeff quit. He never did serve the Lord anymore. He didn't help nobody else. Go a little further, Paul Jeff got tired. They say he just got tired and he quit. I want you to realize I don't want to be that. I want to be that that carries it on down through time. In the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John, They asked John if he was Elijah. And I want you to know he came in the spirit of Elijah. He sure did. He was Elijah. He told him he wasn't. He wasn't reincarnated or anything like that. But he come in the spirit in a way this Elijah handled himself. How was he able to do that? Because it come down through generation after generation. God called him just like he did Elisha. He gave him a job to do. And he come in that spirit. Who's going to come in our spirit? Who's going to have that willingness to go, to not quit, to keep going? And they asked him, he said, and he confessed, and how, let's just go back. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent the priests and the Levites, this is the first chapter of John, verse 19. Again, 19. Oh, maybe a coincidence. This is the record of John when the Jews sent the priests and the Levites in Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And when he confessed, he denied not, but I confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what? Then art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He said, I answered and answered, no. Then said unto him, who art thou? And he said, that we may give an answer unto them that sent us. And why sayest thou of thyself? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice He's quoting Isaiah 40. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the ways of the Lord. And he said, as the prophet Elijah said, the prophet Elijah, he quoted Isaiah there. He said, I am that one that crieth in the wilderness to make paths straight. I want you to know someone had to be take after Elijah. Someone had to fill his room. And this went on for 900 years. And here comes John the Baptist.
You say, well, where does it even say John was a prophet? Luke chapter 7, I believe it's verse 28. He said, of men, there's none greater than John the Baptist. I don't want to misquote this. We go back and read that. John 28, and I say among you those that are born of women, there is none greater prophet than John the Baptist, but that he at the least of the kingdom is greater than he. So there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. So John was a prophet. He come and he prophesied the coming of the Lord. And I want you to realize today how he come, and I will read to you how he come here in just a minute. But John come in the spirit of Elias. The boy Elijah was carried up in a whirlwind. Elisha wanted a double portion. He'd seen so much out of this man, he wanted a double portion of what he had. Would you want a double portion of what Larry's got? Would you want a double portion of what Donna's got? Have you seen enough out of Jeff Likens that you'd want a double portion out of what I've got? See, that's what we ought to be. We ought to live our life in such a way. When somebody say, I want twice as much as what he's got, because this man is on fire for God. And see, that's how this stuff gets passed down. That's how your children and your grandchildren's going to learn about it. Because somebody was strong enough. I know y'all don't believe this. I know you don't. But it won't be a few years that you're going to be sitting there and you're going to look like Grandma. You're going to look like Grandpa. In between those years, from now to then, it's going to be according to what the next generation's going to be. Our church is sitting half empty today. It looks like it's a priority to most of us. There's preachers out there everywhere that's quit and ain't preached in years. Does that look like it's been a property of them? There's good piano players sitting home today that can play as pretty as anybody that didn't take the priority to come to church today. Does that look like it's been a priority to them? Does it look like it's been passed on how we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to wear? Somehow or another, it come all the way down. 900 years have passed. How many generations is that? 27 or 30 generations. And then here comes John the Baptist. First, I want to make sure you understand, he did come in the Spirit. Zacharias, his dad, I'll just read you the 13 down to. But the angel said unto Zacharias, this is Luke chapter 1, 13th verse. Fear not, Zacharias, for the prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John.
And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. As many as the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers and the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready the people and prepared for the Lord. You say, well, I'm not John the Baptist, I'm not Elijah. You're still to make people prepared. We're still to carry this gospel out. We're still to do everything we can. This is what I'm going to finish with. I don't know if this might have been real short. I don't know. Don't matter. Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, we're quoting that again, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This same John had in his raiments of camel's hair, and he was in a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I don't reckon I'd ever noticed about how his girdle was leather. It was the same kind of girdle that Elijah had. It was the same kind of girdle that he passed over to Elijah. And when he done that, that was how, I don't know how, but he was set apart, he was anointed right there. And to be a prophet. And I want you to realize God had called him because he said, Elijah asked him, said, what have I done? I didn't do it. God's done this. But 900 years later, he could only come in the spirit of Elijah. He came in a girdle just like Elijah had. Were people who knew and been taught through those 900 years that they would recognize Elijah, that they would recognize John the Baptist. If they would open their eyes, they would have seen why he come in such a manner. So you say, well, Jeff, it's just an accident that happened. I don't believe so. I don't believe in accidents. I believe in purposes. God had a purpose for Elijah. He had a purpose for Elisha. He had a purpose for everyone between Elisha and John the Baptist 900 years later. And if we'd only had our eyes open, if I'd had my eyes open for the last 20 some odd years, maybe I would have seen what was passed down to John. But I just didn't see it. Never paid no attention to it. Just poor old John who starved to death. I like honey pretty good. I ain't never eat a locust. I ain't too crazy about it. But he had on a leather girdle, camel's hair. A hairy man, just like Elijah. The king noticed it. He knew. But you go down through generations, people won't notice it. I'm telling you, 900 years from now, if the Lord tarries and don't come, would Hilltop Church be recognizable? Would there be one that it got brought down to know how he's supposed to act, how he's supposed to live, what he's supposed to do? Would it be one? And then everybody else does not recognize him. I ain't much. Don't claim to be. You'll never hear me get up here and tell you what a good preacher I am. I'm not a good preacher. I'm not a good pastor. I've not been a good husband. I've not been the best daddy. I'm not the best grandpa. I have not always noticed and understood everything in the Word of God. I've not always noticed that person that comes in back in the Bible, he may not know a thing about the Lord. The person in overalls may know all about him. I don't know everything, but I want to leave something behind. Years ago, before we started doing these recordings, I started bringing a little recorder thing. And I've got a stack of CDs at home. Because I wanted my grandbabies, my great-grandbabies, my great-great-grandbabies to know what their pa believed. I didn't care nothing about if anybody else ever heard them or not. But I wanted to pass that down to somebody I loved. Who was that to you? Who was that person they loved the Lord so much that they just, till their dying day, they held on and they kept going? Who was that to you? Who was that that read the Bible to you? Who was that talked to you about the Lord? It may not have happened a year ago. It may have been some man in a factory. It may have been someone going down the road talking in the car. I don't know who it was. But somebody made the path straight unto the Lord for you. You heard about him through somebody. That woman with the issue of blood heard about him. I want you to realize the blind man heard about him. You heard about him. Somebody was an example and brought it to you. Are you willing for it to stop today with you? Are we really willing to give up what the Lord's done for us with these kids? Are we really willing to give up and not take the time to bring them to practice anymore? Are we willing, really willing to stop and just give it up and let it go? Are we really willing for our preachers not to learn, not to understand? Are we really willing to just let go of all the examples that we've been taught ourselves, how we should handle ourselves, live our lives? Are we really willing to quit and let our kids die and go to hell? Our grandkids die and go to hell. Our great-grandkids die and go to hell. Are we really willing to just let it end with us? I want to be, you say this ain't encouraging. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, young adults. Don't stop with you. Teach the next generation. I want to encourage you. They're teaching our babies. Amen. Don't you quit. If verse 4 shows up, you teach 4. If verse 4 shows up here next Sunday, I'll preach the 4. Don't quit. If it's a house full, you teach a house full. But 900 years from now, would it be great if he lets time permit that somebody comes and sits in the back of the house and a bunch of little kids come up here and sings about the man in the middle. Amen. That there's some good sister that will sit down here and play this piano. There'll be some man to stand here and lead a song. There'll be deacons in the amen corner, and there'll be good God-loving sister sitting in the amen corner. There'll be a man of God stand up in a pulpit and preach you a sermon about a mantle that was passed on. No, I don't believe that mantle John was wearing, that girdle he was wearing was Elijah's. But I'll tell you this, it could have been. If God wanted to preserve it there in the wilderness for 900 years, and an old man come along, cousin of Jesus, be born, and he'll provide him that girdle, I think it would just been as easy as a pie for him. But the main thing that was come down through the years, that Zacharias, at some point, told John about Elijah and about the girdle he wore, how he was recognized for that. John knew that. And here come John, busting out of the wilderness. Everybody is just like me. Look at this poor man wearing his girdle. Look at him.
He ain't got nothing to eat. Look at this poor old fella. He was richer than all of them. They had no clue. Had no clue. 900 years now, nobody in Macon County have no clue if it ends with us. I don't know what you'll do with this. This may be the one that lynches me. But if it is, let me be lynched. I love you. Amen. I love Hilltop Church. Amen. I love her babies. I love the Lord. Not like I ought to. I own none of those. None of them. But I do. And if you've not seen that out of me but now, then I've failed you. Have your babies, your neighbors, your friends seen that out of you? Don't quit. Keep going. If you got a song, we'll have a handshake.